Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Deep 3 episode. Today, I have a special guest, a dear friend of mine, friend now, coach last year, Thanasis Molivdas from Greece. Molly, how are you?
I'm good. relaxing, not so much fun this summer, you know, due to the whole situation all over the world. But, you know, this gives us more time to relax. You know, think about our future, work in the game a little bit, you know, how coaches are.
I know, right? That's what we just talked about before we start recording, you know, about coaching and how hard of a job it is and how people sometimes, you know, they don't see the work behind it, you know, the time. They only see the 2 hours of practice or 3 hours, depends who your coach is. Well. But yeah, you know, like the time you put in, I just remember you guys were scouting all the time last year, and it's grueling, it's stressful, it keeps you away from your family, and to be honest, the pay doesn't it's not the same as you know, some NBA.
I'll tell you what, many people think it's a game because they see it as a game. When they come in the stands, they just watch, they have fun, they have their sodas, their popcorns, and they spend 2 hours and they enjoy themselves, and they go, and they think that because they're part of the game like this, that even for the rest of us, it's like a game. And there has been many, many times in my life when I was, you know, I had to explain to people that not only for us, there's loads of work apart from the 2 or 3 hours that you might spend on the court. Loads of work when you go back home, but also for the players themselves, because many people don't even understand. They cannot understand that being a professional athlete is not an easy thing. So, yeah, well, it's a long discussion. Some people understand, some people don't really understand how the thing works, but still we're there for them and to recreate them and make them have couple of good hours on the weekends and maybe weekdays if we're part of a team that plays a European competition.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I totally agree with you. It's, it's just grueling physically, mentally. You know, it's a whole another level. But now that you mentioned the whole summer thing, you know, how is this summer compared to last one when you were in training camp getting ready for the World Cup? Were you bored this summer?
Last summer was crazy. I was like, because, you know, because of this year, we've been actually doing nothing. I mean, there's very few things that you can do compared, you know, as far as our job is concerned. Many times we were talking about it with my wife because she didn't actually get to see me last summer. She had to fly all the way down to Crete. To be with me for, not actually with me, just to see me for 3-4 days when we played in the tournament in Heraklion. And yeah, it was a crazy, long and full summer. Very interesting experience.
Absolutely. And how was the pressure? You know, I played in Greece. I saw what Giannis means for Greece now. And I think what Giannis means for European basketball, more like it. I think him and Luka Doncic are like the, you know, the flag carriers of you know, European basketball at this point in the world. And, you know, how was it, you know, Greece has always been good. I mean, there's a basketball tradition, there's basketball history. And, but how is it now, you know, to have the NBA MVP? Was there extra pressure? Of course, there was extra attention, I'm sure, where he couldn't step outside and there's pictures everywhere and all this stuff that can take away, you know, some kind of distraction for the other guys. You know, how did you guys manage all that?
I will tell you what. Greece is the heaven of basketball pressure for a professional basketball player or coach. Like, there is no time where you're participating in a club or a national team, younger national team or the men's national team, as a player or as a coach, and there is no pressure from the surrounding environment. Basketball in Greece has been big. Even though we didn't have, we haven't had a serious success with the national team since 2009, I think, was the last medal that we got in Poland. But there's always great expectations. There's always a big pressure regarding the result. And this is because the clubs of Greece have kept a high level through all these years. So this always brings out expectations. Now, with Yanis being on the team this summer, of course, you know, had us a little bit more stressed because everybody was expecting that Yanis would carry the team in his shoulders. The way he did with the Bucks. But, you know, jumping back a little bit when we talked about coaching and players and stuff like that, I should really say that very, very few people understand the difference of how the game is played in the NBA and how the game is played when it comes to a European competition or the World Championships. The tactics are totally different, and coaches from all over the world now learn to play the game different, and this made it very difficult. I mean,
if you think about it, right? So what you said about, you know, people expect the Giannis to carry the team, to me it goes against the whole basketball culture of Greece. Like you know, when I played there, I realized how, you know, how tactics are super involved in it, how passing the ball in team plays is very involved. So to expect a guy like Giannis to carry you, it kind of goes against the whole mentality to me, whereas the team mentality, right? And it's not a, you know, like a one-man show. That, like, we'll give this guy the ball, he's going to get 30 points, 20 rebounds, and 15 assists, and we're going to win, you know? And to me, the Greek culture is about teamwork, you know, how all those guys, you know, when Diamantidis and Spanoulis were on the same team, and it was just a whole different dynamic where it wasn't one guy. I think it was one guy at a time. You know, they used to take turns, right? So Spanoulis has the ball, Diamantidis take a back seat. Diamantidis has the ball, then, you know, Spanoulis takes a back seat. And it's always been like that. You know, it's always been about team culture. So to put that much pressure on Giannis, I think it was just a lot.
I'll tell you what. First of all, let me... what I wanted to say. When Giannis went back to the States and they asked him about the World Championship and the game, and I remember that probably the first or maybe one of the first things he himself said is that I finally feel free on the floor. I don't know if you remember, it was an interview, I think, or something, where he referred to the fact that whenever he had the ball in his hands, he had like five defenders on him or right next to him, or when he was driving, everybody was packing the lane, which is totally different from the game, from the way they play the game in the States. So this is one thing. The second thing is that when we had players like Diamantidis, Panoulis, like you mentioned, Papaloukas, Zisis, and all these guys, they had a similar style of gameplay. They were playing the game in a similar way. So this made it easier to have a team effort and a team approach, the way you play the game. Now, when you bring Giannis in a group of people that is not used to play the way that he plays, this is where the hard part comes in, to build the chemistry. And you've been a national team player yourself for many years. You know that national team training camps are not long enough, and you don't always have the time to do the things you want the way you want. So it's not always an easy process. I'll give you an example from this World Championship national teams. Very characteristic example was Czech Republic. Czech Republic played, and everybody was talking about how good they were playing, how well they were performing. But very few people really took a step back to see that more than half of the national team of Czech Republic are teammates in Nymburk. And then they had Satoransky coming in. And okay, Vesely was injured, but if Vesely, they would only have like one star player or maybe two if Vesely was not injured, to come in this group of players who already play together and be easy to, this for them to be easier. Now, we had different type of players. We had to make our guys try to understand and play the game, support the game of Giannis, so we can, you know, give him his style on the floor so he can do his things and the rest support it. But it's not always very easy, and it's not always, it doesn't always work when you don't have the amount of time to get yourself ready, and then you go and play a competition which is by itself, you know, a very hard competition.
Yeah, and I mean, Giannis is such a special player that it's hard to even say, you know, when Doncic goes back to the Slovenian national team, it's different, you know. But Giannis is, you know, one of a kind. You know, it's like, to me, it's very similar to LeBron James. So you can't really, you know, nobody can get used to it, to someone playing like that, unless you actually play with that person, you know.
Exactly.
So, but to me, it just seemed like, you know, there was like so much hype and then so much pressure on it. But again, like you said, the Greek basketball coach, there was always pressure there. So it's kind of expected.
But the thing, you know what, if you see the way Giannis plays compared to what you yourself experienced this year from the Greek league, and you know that in general, this is the way that Greeks approach the game. It's different stories, right? If you think about it, one is like Giannis is here, and the Greek way, let's put it this way, is somewhere over here. So you have to bring these two things together and make them work together. For Milwaukee, let's say, to make this work, they let Giannis do be Giannis, and then they have like 10 shooters on the floor where he's just, you know, dishing the ball when he cannot just score, and they just shoot. And when you have good shooters, you win the games.
You see, you should have gave me a Greek passport.
Well, yeah, this is with clubs. You can do this with a club. You can do this with an organization. But when it comes to national team,
yeah,
you cannot. If you don't have it, if it's not there, you cannot produce it over a summer. So this is, for me, this is one way to do it with Giannis. Then the other way, if you want to incorporate Giannis in your team, is to change the style that your team is going to play. And you have to be aggressive, press, run, play, you know, different kind of game. Which again is not very easy to say and, you know, prepare in a small time that you have to prepare yourself for.
I mean, you need certain type of players, and to me, that's one thing that is always that's what Spain's success is all about. It's they have the right guys in the right positions. You know, if you think like one thing, I don't know, one thing changes there, it all gets thrown off, you know. Like if Pau Gasol wasn't exactly Pau Gasol, if he was more of a Giannis type player, then it changes the whole dynamic of that Spanish team, you know. If Marc Gasol wasn't the Marc Gasol that he is now, that he can create from the low post, that he can do a little bit of everything, it changes the ball movement of the whole Spanish team. So as soon as you change one thing in the national team, it just completely changes the dynamic in general of the team, the culture of it, everything. But now that you mentioned the Greek League, now, the most tactics I ever seen in my life. I enjoy it for me. I love it because the more information I get, the easier it is for me to play. It doesn't overwhelm me. To me, it makes it easier because I know I'm not going to have the athletic advantage, but you don't want to make it a foot race. So if you're always paying attention, if your brain is always working, it makes it a lot easier. Of course, it comes with a cost. A lot of videos, a lot of hours on your side as coaches, you know, to watch a ton of games, player characteristics, you know. And also one of the things that I really liked, it was that, you know, it was very detailed as far as when you close out to a certain player, how do you close out? When you push a certain player, not only how do you push him to which side, but knowing that when you push him to one side or the other, you know what to expect, right? As far as, is he going to shoot a jump shot? Is he going to go to a step back? So it was more like a really in-depth, like, scouting report, almost like a synergy, you know, like get everything off the synergy, kind of like I asked you to do that for me a few times. And I used to do that when I played in the VTB a lot, you know, because in some ways it was like my first big league job. And it was different, you know, when I get a matchup with Kamakoglu, when I get a matchup with Darius Songaila, Derek Brown, I knew I can be outmatched. So the only way was to do it, to go in that death report where I like, okay, like Songaila likes to go left, and when he goes left, he's going to do this. So like my brain was always working, and it was wired this way, and this is why I had a ton of fun. You know, I liked it. I like the style of play, but it's not easy, like I said, because it's like the most minute details you guys pay attention to.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think that this was a big part of the success that our team had the last couple of years in the island. We recruited players that were smart enough to understand all this big load of information and use this big load of information that we were providing. And they were... And apart from being smart enough, they were kind enough to put their ass down, work like crazy. You said it yourself. We worked a lot on and off court, and this was a big part of the success that this team was having. And I believe that if the pandemic didn't hit, we would have a very huge finish this season. The league.
No, I thought it was a top four team. No doubt about it. If you ask me, I thought I didn't define Panathinaikos, I thought we can beat anybody. And we kind of proved that actually. So you know, I think of course Panathinaikos.
If you think about it, we lost to Panathinaikos, and then the only team that beat us twice this year, and it was hard for them when they came to play our home court, was Prometheus.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, we were trying really hard to succeed. And, okay, I mean, when I say we, I mean coaches and players along. And we were doing pretty good because, as I said in the beginning, we recruited players that we knew that they could do the job like this, that they wouldn't be lazy, you know, that they wouldn't be, you know, they wouldn't come just to make stats, go. They would come and they would want to join us because they would understand that they were joining a serious basketball program.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, to me, it wasn't even the practice. Like, we talked about the practices, but I love the schedule, right? So, like, Monday, you come in, you kind of get your buddy going, and then you have three hard days. And then Friday was easier to have a game. It was perfect, honestly. It was like, okay, well, you're on the court, it's like that 2 hours, whatever it is, it's hard. And that's, I mean, that's going to happen anywhere. But to me, the difference that was, you know, the video, you know, where you have 1 hour, 1 hour and a half video, it's just the extra work that we have to do. And that's what, to me, that's what makes a difference, you know, because a lot of coaches like would work and you just work with that, you know, like whatever you put on the court, and then you do a little bit of scouting and that's it. But it's like the difference, that was the biggest difference maker to me. It was just the scouting report and, you know, how you understand everything, you know, how you got us to, you watch the flow of the game first, right? I mean, we watch, you know, how that team plays in the flow, right? With certain matchups for two quarters, three quarters, whatever you guys decide to show us. You know, then you go to the plays. Then you also go to the personal characteristics of the players. So, you know, you have three types of videos shown to you, whereas it's not just plays or just players or just plays and players. To me, the most important was also see the flow of the game. You know, because it's good that way you know how a play goes. But when you see a flow of the game, then you know when Keith Langford is going to take over or try to take over, right? And we had this conversation, the IA game, where for me, I knew, like, I've played against Langford before. My mindset was at some point, I got to get him off balance, get him mad, because he loses his temper fairly quick. And he was already frustrated at that point. He missed a few shots, and I thought it was the right time for me to take a hit at him. It wasn't like nothing illegal, right? So he's coming off of Iverson cut. I just stepped in front of him, bumped him really hard. It was a foul. So, but I wouldn't know that unless you watch the flow of the game. You know, so to me, that's part of, like, a big part of you guys paying attention to detail as far as, you know, showing us different variations of scouting.
And I tell you what, on this thing, many people, even professional coaches or players, don't really understand the importance of momentum swings during the game. Way too many people underestimate this. They just see a game, they say, it's okay, it's like a 20-point game now, switch off the TV, it's done. And then the other day, it's like, how did this happen? How did they lose the game? Or, you know, how did it end up being so close in the end? It's like, it was 20 points. It's really important for players to see this and understand. And see how a team reacts, you know, watching a flow, and see how a team reacts when the opponent is making them run, or when the opponent is putting pressure on them, when they let them go at their own pace, where they feel convenient, where they can do the stuff they want, where they don't feel any pressure from defense. This is something that you don't really get when you get to watch, you know, clips or highlights, let's say, of how they run this play, how they run that play, or how this player shoots the ball, or how he dives. So it's really a big part, and it has to do with this. You know, players that are being prepared for a game need to actually watch how the opponent plays during the game, not specific clips. It is a big part.
Yeah. Absolutely. Now, you coached about everywhere since we talked about Greek League. You were in Žalgiris, you're in Lebanon. How is that different? You know, how is each league different? How is every team different? And to me, it's also different when you build a EuroLeague team. You know, some teams build it for the EuroLeague and then they kind of realize, okay, it's not going to work out in like the National League sometimes. It's very rare, but still, because you have Ceska, you have Fenerbahce. But you see it every now and then. It's like, it's a different style of play, right? So, you know, you bring in at Panathinaikos, you bring in a really, you know, type of team, and then the Greek League plays totally different, then you might struggle against some of the good teams. Okay, now it's different without Olympiakos, but it's impossible with that kind of budget. But, you know, you see Barcelona struggle every now and then. They might do good in the EuroLeague, they play bad in the Spanish League. They good in the Spanish League, they play bad in the EuroLeague. You know, it's, for example, it's Ante Tomic. To me, that's like, is he effective in both leagues, really? Or is he effective in one of them, you know, because of style of play, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, let's take one thing at a time. When you put together a EuroLeague team and the league in the country that you participate is not a high-level league, then you might end up having a problem struggling in some games because your players will take for granted that, you know, all the games that we play in our league, in the local league, will be easy. And this could be a reason that will make a top-level team, a EuroLeague-level team, struggle when they play in let's say, Greek league. Like, for example, last season, Peristeri, beat Panathinaikos. So, and this was considered, you know, big success by many, which was to be honest. Now, the one possible reason is that EuroLeague is an exhausting league, and maybe you have a double game week, and you come and you have to play your fourth game in a row, and players are tired, exhausted from traveling, blah 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 blah. So they come and play a game where, you know, it can happen to everybody. They might have a bad night, they're tired, and they lose focus and they lose the game. Or it could be that, you know, they think, okay, it's going to be an easy game, we don't have to push ourselves so much, and then game stays close, they might miss a couple of shots, the other team make, you know, some lucky shots, and then in the end, it's going to come to one shot, make it or lose it, and you lose the game. So, you know, when you have, and it's okay, I mean, it can happen to anything. It's normal, it's logical. You cannot, you know, finish a season having zero losses. It doesn't make sense. I mean, even in a Greek league or Panathinaikos, when there is no Olympiakos, it doesn't make sense to finish a season without a loss, because it's a long season. When a team participates in EuroLeague, it's a long season. So, Lithuanian league is a similar league. It's not a very strong league, but it's a league that is playing, all the teams like to play an up-tempo game. They run, they shoot a lot. This is how Lithuanians enjoy the game, how they play the game. So, you know, there would come games where you would have to face, you'd go and the other team just score three after three after three, and you just, you know, you're saying, you know, what's happening over here? I'm supposed to be, you know, the dominant team, the champion, and then these guys are supposed to be last on the table, or, you know. And still, this is the game, the way the game is played. So when you have to deal with high-level teams, because the talent is there, because the ability is there on the player's side, coach's job is to try to keep them alert, focused, and on every game find the proper motivation. So the players, when they come to play, they play to their normal standards, to their levels, their normal level, not underestimate the opponent, you know, not relax, and this will eventually end up for them in a bad way.
For me, one thing I noticed about Rick Pitino, for example, he used to change lineups. His Greek League lineup was a little bit different than his EuroLeague lineup. You know, or maybe his use of the big guys was a little bit different, you know. Just from what I noticed, you know, I watched quite a few games and I was like, okay. And then I started thinking about Milano, for example. And to me, they built a great team this year. But I'm really curious how that team's going to do in the Italian League. It's a team that's clearly built for the EuroLeague, to go deep in the EuroLeague. But then, you know, you have a Bologna team who's a little bit different and who's going to play a little bit different.
Isn't that the main concern for Milan the last, I don't know, how many years?
I think it is. I think it is for most teams, you know. Probably, unless you play in the Spanish league, I mean, the EuroLeague is the main one. And I remember our years at Stelmet, and that was, you know, it's grueling, like you said. You know, when you come and you go play Barcelona, and then you have to focus on maybe, you know, a smaller team, then how do you refocus? You know, okay, it's a certain level. Okay, if you're not Panathinaikos, you're Stelmet, but you know, how do you
recall? But still, for your country, you're like
it used to happen to
everyone. Was like this.
Yeah, and Vita B, same thing with Kalev Kramo. It was like, you go and we play three leagues. So we play Unix in Eurocup, then we go beat Unix, then we have to go play in Krasnodar and Vita B. Then after that, the fourth game of the week, or third game of the week, the same 6-7 days, was an Estonian league game. Even though if it was Tartu, who's like the second best team in Estonia, and, you know, we knew
exactly
the finals. They were in the FIBA Cup. you know, we were Euro Cup, and you knew that, like, it's a big game, but you have two huge games in 1 week, and you have third game in a row where it's like, oh, man, like, we need to win this one for, you know, home court advantage in the finals. You end up losing it, you know, or we end up losing.
Or maybe you don't play Tartu, and you play an even less yeah. team, and you go there relaxed, and you say, finally, we killed ourselves on the road, two games in a row. Now it's time to relax and then you end up.
Yeah, you expect to relax. I remember one game. It was December. Exactly. It was cold, man. It was cold in the gym, and we were playing Tallinn College, and we played in Russia somewhere. Was it Spartak? Maybe I forget. But so we play in Russia, and we come back the very next night. So like it was like a back to back. We come back, we're home for like 5 hours, then we go to the gym to play the game. And coach comes up to me and Frank Ellegar. He's like, I don't want to play you guys, but if necessary, one of you guys has to play. So Frank and I look at each other, I'm like, is it going to be you or me? And then what crazy things happen, we're down 15 at halftime. He comes to the locker room, and before he takes anybody, he's like, comes to me and Frank, like, okay, so both of you guys are going to play. Go warm up. So it was like one of those things, like, you know, my mind was already out. Then we come back and we barely won the game by like maybe like 5 or 7 points. Because, I mean, look, Frank and I were also out mentally, you know, because like we're like,
oh, yeah, of course, because you prepare yourself for a day, let's say, because it's supposed to be an easy game. And you go there, and you just relax at the bench or something like that. You're that far away from turning and ordering, you know, can I have a soda and some popcorn, please? That's the game.
Right.
But you're in team jersey. But, you know, it happens. So, you know, teams built to play in high-level competition, they might get in trouble during the year in the local league because it's normal. High-level competition always is the big, big target. Let me give you a quick example in Greece, what has happened in the recent years. Greek Cup is kind of, underestimated because everybody more or less knows that in the end, you know, the years before, in the end, it's going to be Olympiakos playing Panathinaikos in the final. So teams don't really care about it. You know, they say, okay, we'll go play, we're going to treat it like a friendly. And, okay, we win, and then we go, and maybe, most likely, we'll end up playing semifinals. We will either play Olympiakos or Panathinaikos. We will lose, and Olympiakos will play Panathinaikos for the final. So, the last few years, there had been a couple of teams from second division built to win the division. Like, they were not bad teams, they were good teams with experienced players, because second division always participates in the Greek Cup. But most of the times, nobody really realizes it because they get eliminated very early in the competition. There were two teams that made it. One made it to the final and the other made it to the semifinal. Why? Because these teams had no motivation. They were playing high-level competition for them. They were playing against, you know, A1 teams that were treating the competition like friendly games, preparation games, or something in between, depending on when the date of the game was. And they won. So this is exactly what can happen to any team that plays EuroLeague, and it comes the time to play, you know, a lower level team in the local championship. They relax and they just get beaten.
When you were building the Žalgiris team, how was that different than building a team for the Greek League?
Tell you what, Žalgiris team was back then was in a strange situation. It was changing ownership. It was the previous owner just left the team. He had some issues, financial issues. He left the team, and the team was, it was the first season that the team had a really low budget, and they decided not to play VTB. They would play Lithuanian championship and EuroLeague. And it was a rebuilding season, actually, for the team. We had mostly young kids from the from a very, very high-quality group of kids that played for the under-20s in Žalgiris. Lukas Lekavičius was there. Arturas Gudaitis was there, but he missed half of the season because he was coming from a torn ACL. Vaidas Karniauskas, who played the last couple of years in the Greek league, was there. So it was a mixture. Who else was there? Ulanovas was there. So these kids were all 17, 18 year old back then. It was a mixture of these guys and Saras on his last year as a player. Who else was? So it was a mixture of players, you know, mixture of ages. We only had one import. We played. It was a rebuilding phase for the team. So nothing was easy. You know, it wasn't Žalgiris team, you know, that...
Yeah, so you didn't have the option to bring, you know, 5-6 foreigners and
what... Exactly, experienced players and all this stuff. You couldn't pay and bring in all the high-end Lithuanian players. It was, you know, it was a different story. It was the beginning, let's say, of the building of the creation of the team that later on, when Saras became the head coach, took the guys and, you know, made them play really good basketball. And of course, the financial of the team improved in these 2-3 years. And okay, Saras, he was an amazing player. He's an amazing coach. His brain is functioning, you know, in high school.
You probably can't sleep either, but you know, actually, a few Greek teams I think could use that too. A few rebuilding years.
Yeah, well, I think that Panathinaikos is doing that this year.
No, but I'm saying, like, from the financial standpoint, we're like, okay, like,
well, yeah,
well, like, we'll have. I mean, it's to me that was one of the things. Like, you know, it's just you can be so special playing Paolo Karadis, and it's hard to understand, but it comes with a price, you know. And it's hard when, you know, players run away from you because, you know, you have some issues. And then it's hard also for the Greek league in general because it needs those teams to be at the top, honestly.
Sure. I'll tell you what, because my best friend is now the head coach of Aris, and we've been talking about all these issues like day after day. These teams will never stop existing.
No, absolutely.
That's one thing that people like need to understand. I mean, it's a sad story for us, me and you. But Limnos was there for 2 years, and is no more. And this is because one guy decided that, you know, I'm gonna take my money, invest it there, or not invest it, put it there, because I want to do something really good for my island, because I come from the island of Limnos, and I want to do something good for the island. I want to bring a top-level team there. But then something happens, like a pandemic, and now he cannot afford paying for a team, and the team is no more. It doesn't exist. But Aris and PAOK and Olympiakos and Panathinaikos and AEK, they might go through all this kind of turbulence, but they're not going to be. It's not going to be a day that someone is going to pull the plug and they're not going to be there.
I think AEK is a good example of it, right? I mean,
yeah. Well, AEK is an example of a team that is surviving through its problems. It's similar to Aris or PAOK, but not as huge, because at this moment AEK has a guy with big pockets that can still, you know, pay for stuff. Because exactly because I was talking about these things, you know, the last few days. Aris, bigger part of the debt, almost 70 to 80% of the debt that Aris now has, came from the season 2016.
When I was supposed to be there, yeah, I know. When you guys were looking to bring me in, I know.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And this is because the owner at that time got into financial trouble. And instead of saying, you know what, I have these issues, so we cannot afford to go all the way with the team that we built in the beginning. We can just release some players so that not everybody loses their money, and we can go on a different, you know, approach the remaining of the season in a different way. He decided to stick with the plan. He said, no, 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 don't worry, we will do it. And this ended up, you know, almost destroying the club.
Yeah.
But still, the Aris is there. I mean, no player is going to lose their money. Sooner or later, probably later, they will get it.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a difficult situation, I think it's...
But, yeah, then we go back to how we started our conversation. It's not easy for Greeks to accept that Aris or PAOK or Panathinaikos or whoever it is, these kind of clubs, you know, these big brand names are not going to be competing, you know, to win the championship. It's unacceptable for the Greek fans.
Yeah. But, I mean, to me, I don't know, just it was probably one of the most fun leagues to be in. I think it just from everything on off the court. I mean, okay, financial issues, like whatever. But as a basketball player, I think it's fun. It's fun because, okay, you get some attention. Of course, we got a lot of attention being on the island. And I'm sure it can be bad attention. You know, if you play the Aris and you lose to PAOK, it's not going to be very good attention. You might not want to
come out. You don't go out of the house for a couple of days.
Exactly. But it's also, I think, you know, just a lot of fun as far as, you know, the atmosphere in the gyms. It depends what you consider fun. You know, I think I don't like people coming to like a theater, you know, it's like just clap and, you know, it's different. I don't know. You like them to jump up and down, or like how we got, like our gym was small, but it got very, very loud. So it was a huge home court advantage, even though you had a small gym, you know, so it was different. It was, so to me, that's why I really liked it. But now let's go to Lebanon. How is that compared to everything else that we just talked about?
That was crazy. I tell you what, because I had a really big discussion about this with Jerry Smith, our point guard, last year, not this year, when we first brought him to the club, because he was playing 3 years in a row, second division Turkey.
Yeah.
And second division Turkey, Lebanon, Qatar, Emirates, all these leagues are more or less similar. Go over there, only if you have the ability to score. They sign you for that. They pay you to play offense. Nobody thinks about defense. It's, you know, especially if you're an import, don't worry, don't foul.
Save your energy.
Don't waste your energy. Just get the ball and score. And the craziest thing about Lebanon was like they had a rule back then when I was there that you can change as many players as you want till you start the playoffs, and then you cannot change any player. So if a team signed you, for example, and for 2 weeks in a row you couldn't score more than 20 points, they would cut you. Bring another guy in.
Nice.
I don't know, you know, 15, 20. If you cannot score more than 20 points in a game, they cut you. And then playoff start, you go in, you have a team. One way or another, you have a team. Then somebody gets injured. You cannot replace him. That was crazy. I mean, you had to play, and then our team that year had like 2-3 injuries. I wasn't there. I left. I came back to Aris maybe a month and a half before the season finished in Lebanon. I came back to Aris. But our team had 2-3 very important injuries by the beginning of the playoffs, and they couldn't bring in anybody. So they lost. It's a team that was winning the championship year after year after year, and then you get struck by this, and you just lose, and you cannot do anything.
That's crazy.
But it was a fun league. You know, the fans were very similar to the Greek fans. You know, loud. Of course, I couldn't understand what they were talking about because it was all Arabic. But the fans were loud. The fans were very supportive to the teams. And in general, they were very close to the players. To the imports, if they were playing where they were playing well, they were treating them like gods. And the team that I was in, Al Riyadi, that had like half the national team of Lebanon playing, you cannot imagine how they were treating the national team. We would go play away games, and people would be, you know, queuing up waiting for our guys to sign autographs for them. their players would just go by, and they wouldn't even turn look at them. And then when our team would come off the bus, it would be like, please sign here, sign there. It was a different experience, because they are a small country. They're very united when it comes to national team issues, national issues. So when they were seeing these guys, you know, national team players, everybody was going crazy. Everybody was going
crazy. Gotcha.
You know, it was no tactics, not much, you know. Very, very different situation for me. Very interesting.
Yeah, and definitely different, yeah, for sure. Molly, thank you so much, man. It's been great talking to you, catching up with you.
Wait. We cannot go like this.
Oh, God.
You have to tell me a couple of things about the coming season, about your coming season. Because for me, you know, for now, I'm relaxing. I'm resting. So.
For now, you're on vacation still, huh?
Yeah, I'm on a vacation mode, but you have a season starting. And
sure, like, you know, nobody knows when, but we're starting.
Well, okay, yeah, well, that goes for everybody all over the world. But I mean, you're back home after quite a few years, so why don't you share a little bit of that before we say goodbye?
Yeah, no, I mean it's just different. It's gonna be a different year for everybody. I don't know what to expect. You know, it's one of those few years where you just have no idea what to expect. You know, how you play, you just, you know, what kind of shape you're going to be in, because you don't know how you react. Like, they're talking about having tournaments, you know, 2-3 games in a row at some point, which, I mean, for older teams is not really going to be beneficial. For teams with a smaller budget, they don't have a deep roster, that's going to be a factor. So it can be a very, very weird year, where there can be a lot of surprises. So you really gotta, like, you know, we talked about focus earlier. I think that's what it's going to come down to, really, the focus of the players, and, you know, how can they react in some very uncomfortable situations. You know, for myself, I have no idea when I can bring my family, you know, from the U.S. Because of different reasons. You know, if we play tournaments and I have to quarantine for 10 days in a hotel without being able to go outside unless I go to the practice, and then play another 3-4 days in a row, that means I'm 15 days out of the house. So, like, what's the point of bringing the family here? You know, just they're going to be by themselves. So it's going to be unique situations for all the players, I think. You know, the guys that have families can be really hard. And it's interesting. And for coaching stuff, like we talked about it, you know, how do you react to it? How do you prepare? If, you know, now we play 3-4 games in a row, and then we start playing every weekend, or like it's very hard to prepare. Like, right, how are you going to do your scouting from one night to the other? Are you going to have 3 weeks and every week you're going to prepare for a different team? Like, oh, first week we're going to prepare the first game. Second week we're going to prepare a second game with the tournament, And third week, we're going to prepare in a third game with a tournament, right? Like, how do you prepare that? It's unique. But as far as, like, for me, for expectations, I mean, I'm about to be 33. There is no more expectations. I just want to have fun on my way out. You know, that's about it. I think the part where my career was stressful, my career was, you know, my main and only focus some ways, I think it's gone. It's behind me, to be honest with you. It's part of why some teams called me this summer and I chose not to do anything. I didn't want to play Champions League. I didn't want to go to a certain level. I just don't think I had the mental capacity that we talked about to be at a level. I don't know if that's going to change next year or the year after, or, but right now I just didn't have it. And as you know, I just, towards the end of it, I had a rough year with an injury. So again, that was also playing a factor in my mental, mental state of mind of what I want. So,
but you're back home now.
Yeah, that's the main part. That's the main part. It's good that if this is it, I'm okay with it. In most ways, I think this is it for me. Mentally, just because I'm ready for some other things in life. I gave this game a lot, over the years. Like you said, it's a grueling job, and just because of the injuries and the hepatitis and everything that I had going on the last 2-3 years, it kind of forced me into making more and more plans for my after I play career. And of course, when that happens, you kind of just shift your mind a little bit. But I do have some kind of pride, the type of player I was, that I don't want to go out a certain way. So, if I want to go out, I want to go out with a bang, and that's it. I was watching.
I tell you what, I believe that every player deserves that. I mean, no player that has played the game, no matter what the level, if he's played the game for these many years, no player deserves to go out halfway of the season injured and stuff like that. All the players deserve to go out, play, finish a full season, enjoy it, the end, and then say, okay, that was it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's the thing that you watched The Last Dance, right? I assume.
Who didn't?
But, Jordan talked about that a few times. When he retired, he was like, I was mentally done. He's like, I didn't need to play basketball at that point. After the first three-peat, he said, I was done. I just wanted to play baseball, so I just wanted to do that. And then when he felt like coming back to basketball, he came back to basketball. And then, like he said at the end,
do whatever he wanted.
Yeah, of course. And after the second three-peat, he was like, actually, I wanted to go to the fourth championship. They didn't let me. So, like you said, that regret is always going to be with him, but it wasn't his decision. So, yeah. I'm sure everybody wants to walk out a certain way. There's one way I don't want to walk out is as one of those guys that played too long. That's definitely something that I'd rather go out on my own terms, in my own, just not be like, oh yeah, he played until he was like 41, but here, 5 years, he was just there. That's not something that I want to,
that's not cool, I understand. It totally makes sense. Well, all the best for the coming season. Stay healthy.
We'll stay in touch, as you know.
Win the championship in Romania. Surprise everybody.
That would be nice. Hey, that would be so bad.
Why not?
For sure.
It's not a spoiler, but...
it's going to be an interesting year, so anything is
possible. You guys put together a good team, so...
Well, we have some guys coming from the Greek League, quite a few, so...
They have the experience.
Exactly. No, but thank you. Thank you, Molly, for your time, and then we'll stay in touch.
It was fun. I enjoyed it.
Always, man. Thank you.
Take care.